Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We want to be unstoppable. We want to be the kind of person that you created us to be. Unstoppable. Father, thank you that you have empowered us with your Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is inside of us, moving us,
yes,
directing us,
yes,
and guiding us.
Yes.
Father, we claim victory today through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to mention this. Shelly is going up on parole.
Amen.
Real soon.
And
if she would have letters from people supporting her, she believed that would mean something to the parole board. And so I've written a letter, and my family has written letters. And so any of you that would like to write a letter of support for Shelly, just in the letter explain how much you care about her and want to see her change and be better and have a chance to show people that she has changed. If you'll write that letter, if you'll bring it to me next week, I will mail it off to the parole board. And hopefully, in a short period of time, maybe Shelley will be parole. The scripture verse today is in Jeremiah. It's the first chapter, and I put the whole chapter in there. I'm going to start here in a minute at verse 4, but sometimes I think we make it too easy to join the church. I mean, I think maybe we set the bar too low, because sinners like you and like me can join the church. You know, maybe if there were some initiation that in order to join the church, you had to walk on hot coals, 8 feet of hot coals. You had to walk on them barefoot.
Oh.
Maybe you had to do that before you, maybe people would be more serious about being a member of the church, or maybe the churches would be empty. Listen, the church was created for sinners like you and me.
Amen.
That's why we're here.
Amen.
But I do wish that people who attended church, not just this church, but all churches,
amen,
took membership a little more seriously. You know, anything that comes too cheaply isn't appreciated. As the leaders of your church, it's our responsibility to try to motivate you.
Amen.
To try to encourage you to be more active, more excited about coming to church.
I am.
You know what I found out about motivating other people? That I can't motivate anybody to do anything if I'm not motivating myself.
Amen. That's right.
If I'm not doing the things that I need to be doing, it's hard to motivate other people to have them to do what they're supposed to be doing, isn't it?
Yes.
This motivation stuff is tricky stuff. And it's hard not only to motivate others, but it's hard to motivate yourself. I'm going to read to you today a story about a motivated young man. He was given a job And even though he wasn't sure he was going to be able to do the job, he never gave up. He never quit. I'm going to be in Jeremiah. I'm going to start reading here in the fourth verse. And this is the call of Jeremiah from God. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nation." And then I said, "O Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and wherever I command, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hands and touched his mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words into your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And he said, "I have seen an almond branch." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my words to perform it." The word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see boiling pot facing away from the north." Then the Lord said to me, "Out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdom of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and every one shall set their throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all the walls all around it, and against all the cities of Judea. And I will declare my judgment against them, for all their evil forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of other hands. But you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, the officials, his priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." Jeremiah, this young man, God calls him even as a youth. And he wasn't convinced that he could do this. He cried out to God, "Listen, I'm just a young man. I don't have the words to say. I don't have the power to go before all these judges, all these priests." God said, "You don't worry about that. I'm going to take care of that part. I'm going to give you the words to say." Listen, when God gives us the words to say, the world is going to listen, right?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They don't.
They don't.
They didn't. The children of Israel didn't listen.
That's right.
Jeremiah brought them a message. And it wasn't what they wanted to hear. They don't want bad news. And they turned against Jeremiah. They taunted him. They put him in jail. At one point, they threw him in a pit to die. And as Jeremiah was going through this process, he's human. He became angry. He became frustrated. And you can see that in his writings if you read the book of Jeremiah. You can see there are times where Jeremiah lashes out. But he never changed the message. The message was always the same. The same message God gave him.
Amen.
Here's what's interesting. The prophecies that Jeremiah prophesied came true. But that didn't endear him to his critics. You know, when somebody brings you bad news, you say, I don't want to hear this negative stuff. And when this stuff happens, they blame you. It's happened to me before where I brought some bad news to people that don't want to hear this. And when this happens, they think it's your fault. And that's what's happening here. Listen, no prophet wants to go to their people and bring them bad news. It's much, much more profitable, much easier to preach this prosperity gospel that God is going to bless you and that God is going to make you rich with above your dreams, that all your problems are going to go away. That's the message they want to bring because that's what we want to hear.
Right.
That's what we don't want to hear the bad things. We want to hear the good things. But that's not the message of God, is it? That's not what God says to us in here. It wasn't the message that God had for Israel. God wanted to bless Israel, but they need to make some changes. Amen. They needed to do some things differently. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah was true to his mission. And today, Jeremiah is recognized as one of the greatest prophets to ever come out of Israel. He is well thought of, but at the time, nobody would listen to him. So what was it that Jeremiah had that made him keep going on and on, even when the work he was doing wasn't appreciated? I think this is important for you and me. Because I know many of us go about our daily responsibilities, raising our families, going to work, serving in the community, working in the church, trying to bring change into people's lives. But we just hardly ever see the reward. See, life is difficult. The very people that we look to for encouragement and appreciation have none of that for us. So where do we find this motivation like Jeremiah had? Where can we go to find this motivation for us to just keep going like Jeremiah did? He had struggles and he got angry, but he didn't change the message. He still did what God called him to do.
Amen.
The first thing you're going to see about Jeremiah, he had a strong concept of God in his life. Listen to this scripture. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Listen, I believe most people believe in God. I don't think a whole lot of people have a strong concept of God working in their life. I think a lot of people who have this consciousness of God are trying everything they can to ignore that. Some people, the only consciousness of God is that they look at their life and says, I wish I could live my life better. But they don't do anything to change. They don't do anything different. They look back and say, I wish my life was better. I wish I could do better. But they don't make any effort to change, to do anything about it. Jeremiah had this super consciousness of what God had for him to do. He knew that he was chosen before he was even born. He believed that God selected him and that God had a purpose for him. Do you have that consciousness of God in your life? Do you feel like God is leading you? Or do you just simply believe that God is there? And many times the only time we call his name is when we're
in trouble,
needing something. In trouble. Hurting. There's never a time where we just praise God and thank him. There are many people like that. This was not how Jeremiah was. When Jeremiah delivered this message to Israel, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to interrupt their comfort and their convenience. At the urging of God, Jeremiah was telling Israel, listen, we have a problem here. You have a problem here. Things need to change. Things better be changed or this is going to happen. But they didn't listen. They ridiculed him. They persecuted him. You know what? A lesser man would have just folded his tent and gone home. When people... Have you been there before that you've tried to convince somebody of something and they just continue to argue and fight with you? You just throw your hands up and say, okay, I give up. I quit. That wasn't Jeremiah. Not only did Jeremiah believe he had this strong consciousness of God, Jeremiah believed he was set apart. As the scripture said, he was set apart. He was made different. What does that mean to be set apart? Have you ever heard this expression? He walks to the beat of a different drum. You know, when we say that to somebody, we generally are using that in the negative term because it means that this person is somehow out of step with the rest of society. Because we are a conformist society. We want to be like other people. We don't want to be different. Listen, if it's the fad to wear white ties, everybody's wearing white ties. If they change that to say, now you should be wearing narrow ties, we wear narrow ties. If they say don't wear ties, we wouldn't be called dead in a tie. We want to conform to be like everybody else. And usually this is just a rather harmless game we play.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can get us in trouble.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, and I know this has happened to you before, too. I wanted to do something. And I went and asked my mother if I could do it. And she said, no. I said, why not? Everybody else is doing it. And you know what her response to me was? If everybody jumps off the cliff, are you going to jump off too?
Probably.
Listen. Society can be wrong, and often is.
Amen.
The crowds can be wrong. In Jeremiah's time, the crowds were wrong. They wanted to worship idols and ignore their responsibility to God. But God called Jeremiah to fix that. And he did everything he could to do that. I dare say to you, you don't need me to tell you this, but we live in a society that's moving away from God. There are many great churches in this country, and millions of people go to that church. But how many people feel like going to church is a privilege, it's an honor, a chance to come and worship God with other Christians? Listen, I'm all for listening to pastors on TV and radio and all of this stuff. But it's not the same as coming to church, to being with fellowship with other people.
Amen.
To give yourself a chance to help other people.
Amen.
There comes a time, and I know it happened in my parents' life, and sometimes that's the only way you can get the gospel anymore, because you just can't get out and come anymore. You know, it should be a time where we today are still able to get up and come to church. We should look at it as a privilege.
Amen.
As an honor.
That's right.
To come and do this. But most of the time we make excuses why we can't come instead of reasons that we should come. Believe that people with this concept of God are getting smaller and smaller, and I believe that our society is becoming hostile to many of the Christian values that we once held. Listen, God is looking for some people to be set aside. He's not looking for those smug, self-righteous people type of set-apart type people. God has enough religious people who look down on the rest of the side. God is looking for a different kind of person to be set apart. The kind of person that has a servant's mentality. Kind of person that has the attitude that it's not about me, it's about God.
Amen.
Yeah. Looking for a person to be set apart, that they have this strong consciousness of God in their life, and they just know where God's leading them, and they know what God's doing for them, and they're going to praise God regardless of the circumstances.
Amen. Amen.
We preach that all the time. God deserves to be praised no matter of our circumstances.
Amen.
God wants some people like that, that are set apart like that. Finally, you want to be like Jeremiah. You have to have a purpose-driven life.
Amen.
Pastor Rick Warren wrote this best-selling book by that same name, Purpose-Driven Life. And you know what the first words in that book are? It's not about you.
Amen.
It's not about you. Jeremiah understood it wasn't about him. Jeremiah understood it was about what God wanted. God is looking for some Jeremiahs today. He's looking for people to do whatever needs to be done to change the world. Listen, most of us will never suffer for our faith. Most of us will never, ever be ostracized because of our faith. You know what? But there are many of us. And I know one of the great things about being in a small church, I know the things that you're going through. And I know the things that you do that people don't appreciate. I know the things that you do that there doesn't seem to be a reward for. I know the struggles. Listen, we're a church who is built to minister with people with disabilities. We know more than most churches what it's like to struggle in life. I know your stories.
Amen.
I know what it's like when you're getting old and you can't do the things that you once did. I know what it's like to try to care for a parent.
Amen.
Who's going through that. I know there are people here who care for a disabled child.
Amen.
There are people here who go from the end of the month to the first of the month trying to stretch their dollars.
Amen.
To get to the first of the month.
Amen.
And they live their life like that every month. There are people here today in nursing homes that are in a crowded room, but they're all alone. Nobody cares about them. They don't feel like their life matters. There are people who have lost the ability to do the things that they once did.
Amen.
Amen. And yet, they have to understand. They have to have this consciousness of God in their life. They have to understand they're being led by God. And I know the struggles that you're going through. I know the hard times that you're trying to get through. But you have to keep going. You can't quit. You just keep going and understand that you have been set aside. You have a reason for living, that God has given you purpose, and there's something special for you.
Amen.
You have to understand that in your life, and it needs to mean something to you.
Carolyn.
Listen, you're not going to be a prophet.
Hello? Carolyn. Jackie. Okay.
But our lives can be driven.
Thank you, Pastor.
With purpose and determination to be what God called us to be. You need to know that you look around and people don't appreciate you. People don't say thank you sometimes. Sometimes you feel like everything you're doing is just falling on deaf ears, and that you're not making a difference. God sees your effort. God knows. Listen, you won't be named after a book in the Bible like Jeremiah was. But your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God sees your struggles. He knows your pain. And He knows your heart. I want you to know that God knew you before you were born. God knows everything about you. And God has, if you're a child of the King, you have been set apart. You have been chosen. You have been given this gift of the Holy Spirit. You can be like Jeremiah. And live your life knowing that you're going to be doing the very best you can to be the person God created you to be. Hang in there, friend. Hang in there, brother and sister. Because I promise you, God will not let you down.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we see the struggles and turmoil of this young prophet. Father, we learn so many lessons from him. We see how important it is to know who we are, to have this consciousness of identity. It takes more than just knowing that there is a God. You have to be committed to that God. You have to give your life to that God. It has to be your purpose in life. Father, we need to understand that we've been set apart. We've been set aside. We have been chosen. We have been given an opportunity to speak your words to a lost and dying nation. Father, may we have the courage and the ability to do just that. Father, I thank you and bless you. I pray that you will continue to shine your favor on us. And no matter what we go through, Father, we know that you will never give up on us. May we never give up on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
John's going to lead us in verse 2, whatever.